Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome today. I want to remind you, the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. Remember, it is a credit union. It belongs to you. You get money back. It's not just a bank. For more information, www.mecu.com. Okay, folks, it's time to eat. Or almost. It's Thanksgiving, which is only synonymous with eating. I mean, what else is it but eating, right?
Yep.
A little absolutely. Drink, a little eat. So I must say, in the almost 18 and a half years that we've been doing the show, 18 Thanksgivings we've been doing this show, we do a cooking show almost every Thanksgiving. This is the first time we've ever done a cooking show on Thanksgiving without a woman in the studio. There's a bunch of hardheads in my studio.
It's the changing of the guard.
I don't know how that happened. But Greg Brown is here, owner and chef at Land of Kush, a great vegan restaurant that has catered for us. And we've eaten there great, good food.
Absolutely.
Good to see you, brother.
Great to see you, Mark.
And he's a man who will convince you that vegans are not skinny people.
Yes, he's convinced me to eat there often.
Absolutely.
Casey Jenkins is with us, owner and executive chef of Darker Than Blue Cafe. Casey, good to have you in the studio.
Hey, thank you.
Number here is 410-319-8888. Talk about your Thanksgiving traditions. Talk about the food that you like to cook. You can share a recipe with us. People have written in. You can write to us here at SteinerShow at gmail.com. You can call us at 410-319-8888. You can log on to Mark Steiner or Mark Steiner Show Facebook page, as Gay Pinder has done, and we'll read about her soup that she has written in about. We'll talk about that. 410-319-8888. Iris and Waverly is the first caller. But first, before we go to Iris, now we have a show here. We're going from vegan to omnivore. Vegan to carnivore.
Two ranges, two big ranges.
Two huge ranges, but all soul food on either side of the fence.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Vegan soul food and...
Well, I'll be the first to say, Greg's got some good ribs.
And you wouldn't believe there's no meat in them, would you?
No, I would not have believed it if I didn't see it myself or taste it myself.
Taste it, right, absolutely. And I know Casey's got the great food. He's been in business for 5 years down there, Darker Than Blue, so I know he has great stuff down there.
He does. Thanks, you know, you can't eat much of it, right?
You know what? And I'm not mad at him. Listen, but he still supports, absolutely. And that's all that counts.
Absolutely, my guy.
So, first, before we jump into this, and Iris is going to come right to your call, I want to hear from our guest chefs. And you were starting off before we went in the air to talk about, you did a little history study here.
I did. Baltimore is a phenomenal city when it comes to food. And like I like to tell a lot of people, when I first moved to Baltimore, I came down here with the idea that I am going to write the blueprint for a successful restaurant. And then after being here for a number of years, after licking my fingers quite often, I said, they've got great restaurants already, so what am I going to do now? But the history of Baltimore when it comes to Thanksgiving was phenomenal after the research that I've done. You know, Thanksgiving's become a very regional thing, and one of the regional things that Baltimore does is sauerkraut. Polish sausage and sauerkraut on their tables.
White, whether you're white, black, Asian, or whoever you are.
Everyone.
Baltimore.
They
sauerkraut.
Have sauerkraut.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's that rich German culture that moved into Baltimore, you know, many, many years ago. And it's just something that's been inundated now, you know, into the culture of Thanksgiving here in Baltimore. It's phenomenal. It really is.
But everybody does their sauerkraut a little differently.
Yes,
a little
they do. And what I've noticed is the major thing with asking people is whether or not you're cooking the sausage in the sauerkraut or whether or not you're cooking it out. But also, you had some great things that you told me about sauerkraut that before we went on air. So
So I guess your sauerkraut doesn't have sausage in it, does it, man?
No, but you can you can do it. You can do a vegan sausage. I mean, Tofurky has some great products out there. And depending on how you flavor food, I mean, you can get that same flavor, that same type of flavor. We've done like a smoked tofu type of deal and put it in collard greens. So I can see where that would work with sauerkraut. So absolutely.
You doing sauerkraut this year?
I'm not doing sauerkraut this year. I was never, like growing up, I was never a big sauerkraut kid, but now that you guys mention it, now like I'm going home tonight. And,
like, I love
we're New Yorkers, so yeah. We're both New Yorkers. So you know,
I'm a Baltimore kid.
Oh,
my fiance, she's a New Yorker.
All right.
Yeah. So I'm born and raised. This is my town.
All right.
Let's see what listeners, folks. Let us know what you're thinking. What are you eating on Thanksgiving? Your thoughts about Thanksgiving and food. Give us one of your recipes. How do you do sauerkraut? Do you do it vegetarian? Do you do it vegan? Do you do it with meat? Do you cook a ham? How do you do your turkey? Do you do a turducken?
Oh, my gosh.
Pat Jessamy, who's a great cook.
Yes, I know Miss Jessamy.
Uh-huh. Pat Jessamy gave me her recipe for turducken.
Really?
Well, she was on my show once, and she even came over and brought me this spice from New Orleans to put in the turducken.
Oh. Miss Jessamy, you didn't bring that to my restaurant when you came. You know, you bought Howard.
410-319-8888. Before we get into these guys' recipes, let's get a couple of yours. Iris and Waverly, you're on the air.
Hello, how y'all doing today?
Very well, Iris. Very welcome.
Wonderful.
I had to call in and chime in on food. be my dear hosting Thanksgiving. I decided to call it Thanksgiving because I feel like that's a little bit more of an honest term for it. Yes, of course, we all have a lot to give thanks for, be thankful for, but we do an awful lot of taking in this country. So, and the first year I did it, and actually the first few years I did it, it was vegan. It was vegan Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
It was an alternative to those of us in our early 20s who were, you know, no longer eating meat, had broken with the flock, and, you know, mom and dad didn't necessarily want to cook a tofurkey, and so I had my own apartment, and I invited people to come and bring their vegan foods, and it became very popular. But then as we got older, I'm not vegan anymore, and a lot of other people are not, and also more of my friends are transplants and cultural misfits, not just food, nutritious misfits. So people are not with their families for other reasons. So I really appreciate this holiday as a time to share lots of food from lots of different cultures. I had never actually had sauerkraut on the Thanksgiving table. I'm going to have to try that.
It is good.
But bringing in people from around the country and sometimes around the world who bring in lots of interesting dishes.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good.
And so I still try to locally source everything that I can, and there's always vegan options.
Iris, thank you so much.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you for being part of the show. I want to ask both of you guys, each one is, how do you and then how do you cook your greens for Thanksgiving?
Well, one, let me say, I do not cook for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
I do not
cook. If you were going to cook for Thanksgiving.
My mama does it all. But if I were going to, what I would do is.
And your mom is the South, right?
My mother's Southern, yes. Now, she used to, and I had this conversation with someone recently. She used to use a ham hock, a smoked ham hock, and she used to take the greens and clean them really good, soak them 3 times in a little bit of salt brine in the water, and then chop them up really well, saute them off with some garlic and things of that nature, and then put all the water and the ham hock in, and they'd cook for hours. And then she would finish them off with a little bit of crushed red pepper in there. And, you know, that was it. That was all we really did.
Wow.
And your greens?
So my greens, I do a little saute with some onions and some peppers and some garlic. But I like to, like I said before, I like to throw a little smoked tofu in there. To really give it that smoky feel to it.
But you saute them. You don't cook them in water.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I saute them first, and then I do cook them in water and just let them cook for a while till they get nice and tender. Throw a little bit of apple cider vinegar in there and just let them cook over that. Throw the smoked tofu in there to give it that feel. My mother tends to like them with the smoked tofu if she actually lets me cook for Thanksgiving this year. Hopefully she's listening. And I can bring some dishes this year. But, yeah, that's how we do it.
My daughter wants me to cook the greens. I'm trying to figure out just how I'm going to make them this year. You know, I found this smoked yeast.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. It's like smoked salt and yeast.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's from Australia. I bought it at Whole Paycheck.
Uh-huh. Tell me about
but,
it.
Right, but, exactly. But it's so good.
Okay.
I mean, it's just like, you know, you can, if you don't want to use like a pork product or meat, mm-hmm. you can use that and get that smoked flavor in there. And
yeah, absolutely. See, it's really easy to cook. You don't have to cook greens with meat. I mean, that's just my perspective. I've learned to veganize everything over my 13 years of being a vegan. So you don't have to cook foods with meat. It's just all about the seasoning and the flavors that you put in it. So,
well, you guys know me. I mean, it's sacrilegious to do anything without some type of fat or meat in it. You know, we've had this conversation, Greg. Hey, four food groups, butter, heavy cream, salt, and sugar, and darkening milk. That's what we do. And if you have three of those items in there, oh, my goodness.
Let's see what our listeners are thinking. 410-319-8888. Bring us to your Thanksgiving table. Tell us what you do. 410-319-8888. Greg Brown, owner of Land of Kush, chef at Land of Kush. Casey Jenkins, owner and executive chef of Darker Than Blue Cafe. 410-319-8888. And Naja, you're on the air.
Hi, Mark. Yeah, I have to admit, Greg has the best collard greens. No one's able to touch them down here at the Land of Kush. I love his greens. Actually, what I did today, prior to being a vegan 5 years ago, I used to love turkey with the cranberry sauce. So what I had to do today while I was running around with Greg, getting stuff from the market, I got some Boca chicken patties and actually sauteed it in my own gravy with mashed potatoes and a sauteed medley of vegetables, and had that with my cranberry sauce. And, you know, I couldn't tell the difference. So that's what I did.
There you go.
Thank you for craving. And it's vegan.
Thanks for the support. It was delicious, too.
he's empty-handed right now, though. What's up with that? He didn't bring any for us.
It's hard to bring it when you got it downstairs and right there in the kitchen upstairs. You got some more food, so.
I was hoping maybe both of y'all would have brought some food tonight.
Well, I had thought about it. You know, I'm closed on Tuesdays, Mark. I mean, on Monday.
As he slides on.
Tuesdays?
Yeah, it's Monday. Mondays and Tuesdays. We're closed. So I was like, man, should I bring something up for Mark? Okay, I'm closed today. We'll get him down there.
Have to do the show from Darker Than Blue. 410-319-8888. What are your recipes? What do you put on your table for Thanksgiving? Share some of your ideas with us and make the mouths of Baltimore water and tantalize them. 410-319-8888. Marie, you're on the air.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi, Marie.
Good evening. My sauerkraut is more or less vegetarian now. But before I got this recipe from the Midwest, sauerkraut cooked with pork butt. Not much brains to figure that out. Just put them both in a big pot, put in the oven, and the rest is with the heat. Now my sauerkraut is more vegetarian, no meat, garlic, and cayenne pepper.
Mm. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Mm. You gotta have some heat in that food. You got to.
Right. Just a little spice.
Eggnog with whiskey only. No rum, please. Thank
no
you
rum.
Very much.
Whoa.
Whiskey. What's your address?
Thank you.
You make eggnog?
I don't do eggnog now.
You don't do eggnog?
No, I've never done eggnog. I'm curious to experiment with it, though.
I don't do much eggnog either. It's just... I never liked mixing milk and liquor.
Yeah. No, I like my liquor.
Remember people used to drink scotch and milk? You remember?
Yeah, I remember people used to do that.
Yeah, like I said, I'd never mix my scotch.
So. Not even with ice.
Nah, no ice either.
410-319-8888. So how about your recipes for, let's see.
Uh-oh.
Sweets.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, here we go. You know, I was, I'll tell you,
sweet potato pie. Darker Than Blue goes first.
Sweet potato pie, pumpkin pie. Sweet potato pie or pumpkin pie. If you're Southern, you go with sweet potatoes, of course, because sweet potatoes take that heat. They take heat and humidity to grow. And pumpkins couldn't, of course, when they're north of the Mason-Dixon, you're using pumpkin pie. But pumpkin pie or sweet potato pie, I take the sweet potato pie and I brown sugar eggs. You have to fluff, and I tell people this all the time, you've got to fluff your egg whites. You have to have 3 eggs and then 2 extra egg whites fluffed to the side to give it that beautiful consistency. And then you got to have some cinnamon, you got to have some brown sugar, you got to have some vanilla in there. Now, you are cheating if you use gelatin, folks. I just want you to know that.
Besides, it comes from horses' hooves. I never use gelatin.
Yeah, I mean, and people that do that, I'm like, nah, dude, you can't put gelatin in. You got to stand it up with the eggs and the heavy cream. Mm-hmm. And if you can't, no milk. Do not use milk on Thanksgiving, folks. Use heavy cream for everything. If you're gonna splurge, you know, now's the time to do it. So in your mashed potatoes, in your pie, everything, heavy cream and butter. All right, vegan.
Oh, and just the opposite.
Go ahead.
No heavy cream and butter, but definitely we use agave as a sweetener.
Agave.
Mm-hmm. I like the agave a little better just because it metabolizes better in your system. So if you're suffering from diabetes, maybe a little bit more healthier for you if you still want that sweet feel. So I like the agave as a sweetener, and it's very sweet. It's really as sweet or even sweeter than honey, and it mix well with drinks as well as your dessert. So I like to use that as a sweetener. No cream, I'm sorry. I mean, there's some cream alternatives out there that you can use. So, I mean, you got anything that you can find from a...
soy creamer is good.
Soy creamer is
good. I've used soy creamer.
I've only used the soy creamer. I haven't used the rice creamer. And I kind of want to play around with some tofu mixes in there as well. But you can use a lot of different stuff as substitutes. So anything that you can make on the carnivore side where it's heavy cream and butter, you still have soy margarines, you still have soy creamers out there. And there's just a host of products that you can use that you can blend in your same flavors, your same grandma's ma's recipes. Mm-hmm. Put that stuff in there and you'll have the exact same flavor.
I made some mashed... mashed sweets, mix them white and and red sweets together, and I did use cream.
Yeah,
use a little bit of honey, garlic, a little bit of pepper.
Yeah, I like to sprinkle brown sugar on top of that bad
this
boy.
Is so good.
Yeah,
my wife did love it. She said this is some good sweets.
Oh yeah, we make a yam sauce at the Land of Kush. So I like to baste my yams in that yam sauce and just let them cook just right in there.
Mm. Is everybody getting hungry?
Yes.
Yes. Mercy. 410-319-8888. Jucia, you're on the air.
Hello. I just wanted to go ahead on and tell you all I am hungry already. Is it not already time for Thanksgiving?
Yes. It can be.
The most important thing we do in my family is we do a high blood pressure and a diabetic check-in, make sure everybody's got their medication. We don't do much with the turkey in terms of turkey products, although I do use turkey in the collard greens that I make. And I must go ahead on to let you all know that we live in Baltimore, and Old Bay is a staple. Do not forget to put Old Bay in your food. It's wonderful. And also, I like to use what we call grill meat. In my collard greens as well, and in the other dishes like the baked macaroni and cheese, and oh my God, I can't even wait. I've got my to-go stuff already. I'm going to my mother's house in Virginia because we rotate every 3 years to the siblings' homes, and it's just a wonderful time, and I cannot wait. My mom makes a cake called a Black Beauty cake as well as a coconut cake. Those cakes only come out once a year. And we do that because we also have the high blood pressure folk and the diabetic people. So, you know, we can't overdo it. But we do enjoy the holiday. And I'm just loving this conversation. I've heard about those non-meat ribs, and I can't wait to get over there to try them.
I tell you.
840 North Utah Street.
Yeah, and in case you have been over to Darker Than Blue,
I think
I will be back in 2012. I can't wait to see what's going on over there.
Thank you.
And just keep the conversation going, and kudos to the men who are in the kitchen cooking and putting on the apron.
Yes, indeed. I love cooking. I mean, I am the cook in my house.
Yeah, I mean, I am too.
Yeah, me too. It's easy when you live over top of the restaurant.
Yeah.
But it's easy when you live there. But, I mean, I've been the cook in my household for a number of years because ever since I went vegan, it was just like, okay, I don't have much choice, so I'm cooking for myself.
And
so
your ribs are amazing, man.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We were just talking before
amazing.
He got here. I loved them.
God.
I loved them.
Those ribs are just amazing.
Homemade barbecue sauce. We try to make all our sauces from scratch.
Just, you know, I convinced people who are just like stone cold rib eaters to eat your ribs, and they just go, they're always shocked.
Yeah, construction guys come in. I mean, we get big, unhealthy people coming in there. So, you know, some like construction workers, football players who are straight carnivores, and those guys just can't believe it, and they come back. So it's something's going on.
Yep. So what's on your table at 410-319-8888? Lauren from her car. I'm going to read her comment in a minute. She couldn't hold on because she was driving. I'm going to read her comment about what she does with her sweet potato pie. Mm. But first, let's go to 410-319-8888. And Diane in Southeast, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Diane.
How you
Welcome.
Doing? The guy from the Atlanta Kush, I like what you said about the agape nectar. I love it. It's 25% sugar, more sugar than the regular sugar, but it's agape. It's from the agape plant, and it is really good. I use it. I switch using sugar this year, and it's better than sugar. I mean, it's really it doesn't spike your glucose like regular sugar would do, and so it's really good for people with diabetes. Dr. Oz talks about it on his show all the time, and I was calling about I use. My turkey, I do a Cajun kind of turkey, and I rub it down, and I put it in the oven the night before, and I'm finished about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, but, you know, and it's ready for the next day. But I also found out using smoked paprika in your greens and stuff.
I like smoked paprika.
Smoked paprika is the bomb. And they have egg replacement. If you don't use eggs for dairy, the egg replacement.
Absolutely.
And you can get that from the health food store. And it tastes just like regular dessert. It nothing is missing. Everything, like the guy, I forgot his name, from Atlanta Kush. But like he said, everything is the same.
Greg Brown.
Mike, okay.
Greg.
You use your your nutmeg and stuff. You use everything. You're just not using the dairy products, but you're using the egg. It's an egg replacement. It's right. I think it's about $6 or something. I know it's $5.99.
Absolutely, you can get it from Whole Foods,
right.
or as Mark likes to call them, Whole Dollar.
Whole paycheck.
Well, you know what? It's worth it. People be saying, "Well, how can you afford to go there?" It's worth it if you want to eat right and you want to eat good.
But, you know, there are alternatives.
There are many alternatives. I mean,
telling to buy organic food for less money. You can go go to either one. I go to Whole Foods. I enjoy. They have great products there. Mm-hmm. I also go to Wegmans sometimes. They have great organic products there as well. A lot of people are holding.
But you have local farms out here too.
Oh my! Yeah.
This
is a great area for that.
Denzel Mitchell's.
Oh, Denzel. Denzel grows the best vegetables in Baltimore.
Absolutely, and really, Baltimore is a great place to get local produce because just about every area in the city now has a farmer's market, but local farms. I mean, White Lock and Druid Hill, you'd never think there's a local farm over there, but there's local farming going on.
And there's a local farmer's market in Druid Hill Park.
Absolutely.
And they're almost every day of the week.
And on Fridays, this last week was the last Friday, but at Landvale and Charles, there's
Hartford Road.
And there's one there. They have beer and music and all kinds of locally grown food, and just Denzel's
there. That's right, yeah, Charles Street, on Fridays.
So, I mean, you can buy locally grown food here.
And it's great. I mean, the produce is awesome. You're supporting the local economy, so.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Almost all my food until the winter comes, I buy very little food outside the markets and the farms.
Mm-hmm. Love them.
Because they're just here. You can just get them so simply.
Yep. Absolutely.
Folks, join us now, 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. It's Lawrence that was in his car, not Lauren. I apologize. And is what he said. He said he put bananas in a sweet potato pie, and it came out well. What do you all think about that? He wants to know what the chefs think about putting bananas in a sweet potato pie.
Banana. Casey's like,
I don't do well. That's nothing against him. I don't do bananas, and I like my sweet potato pie to be sweet potato pie. That's the Southern guy in me. So, you know, it's
unique. Maybe if you went a little further south, you could put bananas in there.
Yeah, it's unique.
I mean, you got to get creative out there. But bananas are used as an egg replacer, though. Mm-hmm. So they're used as a binding agent.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use them as a binding agent. Applesauce is another thing that you can use as an egg replacer. And again, as the previous caller mentioned, there's a product out there called Egg Replacer that you can use. And so you have a lot of different options if you're looking to substitute eggs in the desserts that you make, and you'll be very surprised. Like, once the flavors that you're seasoning with take over and you're able to balance out things very well, you'll be surprised. Like, that banana won't even make a difference. It'll just be there. But all your seasonings, your spices, and your sweet potato, all of those flavors will take over, and you'll miss the banana, and it'll just be a great pie, great cake that you have. Land of Kush has some great vegan desserts down there.
You do have good vegan desserts.
Absolutely. We have a sweet potato cake provided by Cameron's Treats. We have our orange mango cupcakes, cookies and cream cupcakes, and you wouldn't know they were vegan. It's very tempting not to go down at night and grab some desserts.
Now, I've learned that from my two producers. Both my producers are vegans.
Oh, great guys.
I'm surrounded, dude.
Love those guys. Both my producers.
I'm just surrounded here. I'm a whole, I am straight carnivorous.
You got to just say straight carnivore.
It's your lifestyle, Casey. Hey, it's okay.
Hey, I'm not complaining. I'm going to go have a steak when I leave. It's okay, because you know what I'm waiting for. I haven't heard a person call yet about roast turkey and fried turkey. I'm waiting for the fried turkey.
I want to get into this in a minute. Hold on to that second.
Okay.
Just get a caller in here that I'm going to come to this roast versus fried turkey and the difference twixt the two. And because
all right.
There's
a distinct difference.
Distinct. 410-319-8888. Bring us your recipes, your Thanksgiving thoughts, your food thoughts, what's on your table. Even if you don't know how to cook it, how do you remember it? 410-319-8888. And Melissa in Mount Washington, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Melissa.
I just wanted to share a recipe that I've been doing a lot lately. We've been trying to cut back on meat in my house, but we love collard greens cooked, the southern way, which would usually require some sort of smoked turkey or ham or at least chicken broth. But we've taken all that out, and now we basically cook the greens in beer. And it comes out really, really good.
Yeah, that's actually a really good idea, because soups and anything with the yeast and things of that nature, the yeast, the hops, I mean, it really does add a really good flavor. But it's oddly enough, I still put bacon in that. So when I make my beer and cheese soup, there's got to be bacon. If I'm going to cook the greens with that, it's got to be some bacon in it because, believe it or not, it does offset the flavor a lot better with the salty flavor of the pork, the smoked flavor of the pork, along with the hops and the yeast.
Yeah.
A good mushroom stock would work as well. I used to do it with a vegetable stock, but you can make a homemade mushroom stock. And that mushroom stock will add some depth and flavor to your collard greens. And to me, collard greens are real simple. I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot, just a little bit of salt just to break up the bitterness of it. And like I said, some apple cider vinegar and some other seasonings, maybe some garlic powder, some onion powder, nothing like fresh garlic on them. And, throw your water in there, your broth, and just let them cook until they get nice and tender. Taste them. I like to season. Cook, taste, season again, and then cook away.
The secret is to season gently up front while you're cooking.
Absolutely.
So you don't overdo things and can see what you have.
And when cooking.
Because when you put seasons in, they take a while to kind of run through the food.
To macerate.
Right.
Exactly.
That's the word I was looking for.
And yeah. You're one of them chef things. And it's funny because one of the things that you want to be able to also do when cooking for other people, especially large groups of people like people are going to be doing right now over the holidays, is you don't know necessarily what their health needs are. And you don't know necessarily what their tastes are. So you season lightly and then let other people season at the table.
We got to take a short break. Come back to Chris in Woodlawn and then fried or baked?
The question
for a turkey. We'll be right back. Bring us your thoughts, your remembrances of your Thanksgivings, what you had at Thanksgiving, what you cook now, what you love to cook, how you make what you make, sauerkraut, sweet potatoes, greens, whatever it is you're doing. 410-319-8888 with Greg Brown and Casey Jenkins, two of Baltimore's great chefs. Stay with us. Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. We're talking cooking, Thanksgiving, what's on your table, how do you make it, what do you love, what do you miss, what do you think about, what flavors are in your head from your growing up in Thanksgiving. 410-319-8888 is the number here. We are joined here in studio. Greg Brown is owner and chef at the Land of Kush over 840
North Utah Street.
Incredible vegan restaurant. Casey Jenkins, owner and executive chef of Darker Than Blue Cafe over on Greenmount Avenue.
At 3034 Greenmount.
And it is not a vegan cafe. And both these restaurants are really good. 410, and I am an opportunarian. I'll eat whatever you put in front of me. 410-319-8888 is the number here.
Almost.
I've eaten some wild stuff now. Chris and Woodlawn, you're on the air.
Fellas.
Hi, Chris.
I'm listening to the show, Mark. I listen to you every day, every opportunity I get. I love your show.
Thank you.
On the air, and I'm listening and I'm laughing, and my mouth is watering like I'm sure everybody else's is. And just in that instant, it reminded me that we can't forget the people who won't have much or if anything.
Oh yes.
Especially in the midst of the Occupy movement, and we also shouldn't forget exactly what we are celebrating. I mean, what really happened around that time, and what? So I don't want to bring a damper to the show, but just by the nature of your show, and like I said, what you stand for, what I listen to every day, I just felt it's my responsibility and call and say that.
I know, I appreciate that, and it is a very, you know, we used to joke in our house about what Thanksgiving was, and part of the joke was, what was Thanksgiving? It was Safe and White Folks Day, because it was what the Indians.
That is true. I mean, the history behind Thanksgiving is comprehensive and quite the opposite of what you learned growing up, but manipulate energy. You know, you have to learn how to manipulate energy.
Well, one of the interesting things, we'll go right back to the phones, and Deborah and Waverly, and then Denzel is on the phone, so we're going to call him. Denzel comes next, and then read this thing on the web, is that we did a program recently with a guy who knows a great deal about the cooking of we haven't heard it yet, we haven't played it yet, but he knows a great deal about the cooking of early African Americana and Native American food. So we're talking about that. One of the things he said was that that Native people would eat a lot in the summer, gain a lot of weight towards the winter, and keep it going because food was slower.
Scarce,
and so they got through with less food, but on purpose. They kind of measured their year in terms of where they were. The Europeans came over, and they were just used to drinking ale and eating whatever there was all year round. So when they got to winter, they didn't know what to do.
Right.
They were starving. And so if it hadn't been for
the people that were already
Indians,
here.
Right, who then
indigenous
the settlers
people.
The next year tried to wipe out.
Absolutely. Take their land.
Essentially. Very close to wiping out.
Yes.
And we need to remember those things.
Yes. 410-319-8888. Deborah and Waverly, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
I'm a turkey fryer. I fry turkeys every year. I don't do them in Baltimore. I go home to my parents in Virginia, but last year I fried five. Yeah, we got it going on. We moved up to electric fryers now, so we're still frying them outside.
You need to fry them outside.
I know, but you know, they have a new thing that you can actually fry them inside with a new fryer, but I haven't gotten that one yet.
Oh, good.
We've gone from propane to electric, that master built. Two of them going at the same time. You know, I marinated the night before, and I inject it with either Creole butter or the garlic. Then I just season it all with this cayenne red pepper. It's a recipe I saw years ago that it was in a Hawaiian paper, you know, and it works. And people love it.
Yeah, I mean, what's key, and I tell people this all the time, what's key about frying a turkey is the brine. You've got to have the brine to it. That's going to be able to macerate the flavors inside of the bird. Because just frying it, you know, you're going to lose a lot of the flavor. It's going to float off in the oil, and I tell people that all the time. But you've got to ensure that brine is going to be wiped clean, because then it becomes a hazard. That's when your oil is going to flow over. That's when it's going to overcook. That's when it's going to brown to when it's going to get too crisp on the outside and not cooked enough on the inside. So your brine is the key to actually frying your turkey. I mean, one of your five turkeys, I'm sure, at least.
So, right. Well, no, mine comes, you know, I've been doing this now for years, but mm-hmm. it comes out, I tell you what, going to the electric big turkey fryer, it keeps the heat at the same, and you program everything versus the propane. But I still mm-hmm. have a propane fryer, but I just like the electric one better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's just what I do. Is I fry turkeys for my family.
That sounds good. I love fried turkey.
I love fried turkey.
So let me ask you what you were just saying, Casey. What do you mean by the brine? What do you do?
The brine is actually the flavoring liquid that you're going to be putting it in. So and this is where a lot of people, and I also want to emphasize this when cooking, when doing your brine. So the brine that I put together has kosher salt, brown sugar, and a few herbs. And what I do is you have to actually heat this brine up to dissolve everything, you know, really, really well. But then you have to cool it down. So I either, depending on when I make the brine, and a brine is pretty much what you're going to soak the turkey in to macerate the flavors into it before you fry it. So I cool that brine down either by refrigerating it a few days ahead or either by putting a little bit of ice in it to cool it down and then putting it over, because the one thing that you want to be able to ensure is safety when cooking your poultry, you know. So because you don't know how many cases of salmonella that you just read about and hear about the next day. And so these turkeys are big. You're talking anything above, you know, 8 to 10 pounds. That's a pretty nice sized turkey. So this thing needs to cook all the way through. And if you're going to add heat to it, you need to finish the cooking process. So cool your brine down, soak it in your brine, wipe your brine off really good, drying it off really well. And then that's when you're going to start the frying process. And the frying process itself, heating the oil up, preheating the oil, putting it down in, not overfilling your fryer ladles. And, you know, it's a pretty interesting process.
Huh.
I can't really comment on that.
I've eaten it, but I've never fried a turkey.
No.
I just fried my first turkey probably about 6 years ago, and it was horrible. I had oil everywhere, and here I am. I'm a pretty good chef here, and then I had oil everywhere. You have to do it outside too, and if you don't do it outside, you're just going to, it's going to create the biggest mess. You'll be cleaning up until Christmas if you don't.
Well, let's not do that. 410-319-8888 is the number here. Greg Brown, Casey Jenkins in the house talking about Thanksgiving, talking about your recipes. We should do more of these cooking shows, more than just for these holiday shows, because it's always a lot of fun to hear what people are thinking. Thank you for that call. And let's go to we're going to Denzel, then Kevin, and I'm going to read this thing that came on the web. Denzel.
Hey, how you doing?
Denzel.
I just had to call away because I appreciate all the good energy and good vibes. I really like to hear about brothers in the kitchen cooking, and you know, thanks taking, as the sister earlier referred to it, as it's a great time to show off your wares. So I appreciate all the good publicity, and just want to let folks know that you know, we shut down for the summer, but there's still a lot of stuff in the field. So if anybody want to get some greens, you know, contact me by the website, and we can hook them up on Wednesday.
FiveSeedsFarm.com. FiveSeedsFarm.com.
Yeah. So I appreciate it. I've had the opportunity to eat meals from both of them brothers, and you know, they make some fantastic food.
Yes, they do.
Oh, thank you.
And Denzel, you grow some fantastic vegetables.
Some of them.
Well, you know, I know how to burn too now. Don't
yes, you do, man. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I've had that too. Yes, you do.
Don't sleep on the skills.
And I'm looking forward to having more of the food you're going to cook over the holiday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. A knock on the door.
Absolutely. I'll be knocking on his door on Wednesday.
All right, brother. Thank you, man. Denzel Mitchell, he really is got five wonderful kids, good family, great farmer.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Good stuff over there.
Let's go to 410-319-8888. And Kevin in Baltimore, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. So my family's been making homemade cranberry sauce for about 5 or 6 years.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And for most of the years, we used port wine to go with the cranberries.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that goes over big with the family, and sometimes it doesn't. And my 12-year-old found a recipe last year to do an apple cranberry sauce, which went over much bigger with my family. But we definitely try to avoid the canned cranberry sauce, because there's other people in my family who like that, but not us. So I was just wondering if they have any suggestions for other kinds of recipes with cranberries.
Oh, good. Let's go cranberries.
Yeah. Orange cranberry sauce.
I was about to say orange cranberry.
Orange cranberry
sauce.
That's
what I do.
Yeah, I was Yeah, somebody was talking to me about that today. An orange cranberry sauce may be good.
Yeah, it's a. I mean, that's exactly what I was going to say, because all you're doing is you're taking it, putting a little bit of orange juice, brown sugar, you're boiling it down with you know, with the fresh cranberries, and you're just letting it sit and cool, or you can serve it at room temperature. But one of the things that I also do with my orange cranberry, I actually then I'll mix my cornbread dressing with the orange cranberry and also tangerines, and I'll make it not tangerines but a mandarin. So I'll make a cranberry mandarin cornbread dressing.
Wow. Oh, that sounds good. Now you make fresh cranberries.
Yep, fresh cranberries.
You gotta use fresh. You gotta use fresh. Yep. Like anything canned is it's just not the. I mean, it's convenient, but fresh vegetables, fresh fruit, fruit, it just gives it an amazing flavor. You get so much more out of it, mm-hmm. and it's less expensive.
Let's see. We have a Gay Pinder wrote in on the Facebook page. She said, "Butternut," and Gay Pinder is really lovely lady, and she's used to work on our show here for many years doing stuff. Gay wrote in, "Butternut squash soup with an Asian flavor has become a big hit in my house for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. The soup is flavored with curry, coconut milk, lime, lemongrass, and ginger. I mentioned that I might change the soup this year to a French onion, and there was a huge thumbs down on that suggestion. Everybody wants their Thai butternut squash soup.
That soup sounds
absolutely good. That sounds like a phenomenal soup right there. That butternut squash,
mm-hmm.
cook that thing down. You cook that right. I mean, it's almost like yams in a sense. It's very good.
I love squash.
I was telling Mark earlier that, you know, he should have put out a disclaimer for any of these recipes. Don't be mad. You come up in dark and blue and see that soup.
Absolutely. You never know. This is the season for butternut squash, too.
That's it.
So
it is.
Absolutely. Those butternut and even the spaghetti squash. I mean,
so much you can do with squashes
out there. Mm-hmm. So this is the time.
I have to learn more about how to cook squash in a different way.
How do you want to cook?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty simple. The spaghetti squash, I just lay it on a sheet pan and I actually cover it with brown sugar and put a little bit of water on the sheet pan and just cook it in the oven and let it go and then just string it out. Depending on the size, but usually for anything that's about 3 to 4 pounds, probably about 45 minutes on 350.
You'd be surprised, like very little seasoning and putting something in the oven. Even sweet potatoes are great in the oven. A little olive oil,
mm-hmm.
or if you want to use a little vegan
butter.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you can throw it in the oven, you know, cut it open, cut it down the middle.
It's about sweet potatoes.
Yep. Yeah,
Or you take sweet potatoes, you can cut them into little slices.
Absolutely.
And put them on a pan.
Yep.
And then put whatever you want to put on top of them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's so good.
And I personally like eating it with the skin as well. So when I bake it, I like to eat the sweet potatoes with the skin.
I don't necessarily do the skin, but I love baked sweet potatoes, especially with lots of butter and sugar. <You know? laughs> I'm sorry, guys. I got to keep bringing it back.
It all loops back around.
If anybody has seen me walking around my restaurant, I ain't small.
We ain't that big either, man.
Yeah, I'm not that big. That's because, you know, it's a big jacket, chef jacket I got on. But you know what? I love roasted things in the oven, too, like my slow roasted asparagus with a little bit of garlic, olive oil, salt, and pepper.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't go wrong with
roasted. Oh, I love that.
You can't go wrong with roasted asparagus
is the best.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You can't go wrong with roasted vegetables in general.
Nah, you can't.
You can roast red potatoes. What is it? The red peppers, the sweet peppers. Roast mm-hmm. those in the oven. Absolutely. With some mushrooms.
Man, I'm getting hungry now, too.
Yeah, it's getting real serious.
Let's go back to the phones here. 410-319-8888. Carla in Southwest, you're on the air.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hi, Carla. Welcome.
Hello.
So in my house, we put a West African twist on Thanksgiving because my husband is from Senegal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fabulous cassava leaves.
Mm.
And with the cassava leaves, you know, he adds the meat, the red meat of his lamb, and also tilapia fish, dried fish, chicken sometimes. And that's all in the cassava leaves,
mm-hmm.
as well as like I said, dried fish. Yeah. And then he also fries up tilapia because he knows that we can't have him cook without him making tilapia. Yeah. In our house. So I will take your responses off the
air. Cooking the cassava leaves.
Cassava leaves is a green,
mm-hmm.
and it's really, really good.
Where do you buy your cassava leaves?
Oh, you can buy them from, like, the African shops, any of the small African shops.
Right.
Yeah.
Or even the Asian market,
Or yeah, the Asian market on Route 40.
There's a Latino slash Asian market near Patapsco that has a lot of that stuff as well. So, yeah, often the international cuisine, like, and I would encourage anybody out there, experiment. You know, I know we love traditions in Baltimore, but experiment. There's a lot of different cultures to pull from, especially now where America is really, really integrated with Indian, West Indian, African. And depending on what part of Africa you're in, you might have completely different meals. So some mashed plantain or some jollof rice, some peanut stew. Oh, my gosh. The groundnut stew.
Yeah, my husband also does jollof rice, and the national dish of Senegal is chebuchen, which is the national dish with the fish and the rice and the eggplant and all of that stuff. But that's a bit much. So we just simplifying.
I'm getting so hungry here.
I will get off the air.
No, that's okay, Carla. Thank you so much. Because that's interesting. I'm going to try that.
Yeah, I'm going to get some vegetables this weekend and play around.
410.
Yeah, okay. Y'all both looked at me like, I'm going to get a ham hock.
No, it's different.
I'm just joking. I'm not going to get a ham. I try to do a smoked turkey now.
You can put in the cassava leaves.
Exactly.
410-319-8888. And Ann, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Ann. Welcome.
I wanted the recipe for the orange cranberry sauce.
Ah, for the orange cranberry. Buy a bag of them. Get some fresh cranberries, bag of fresh cranberries. And what you're going to do is you're going to take an orange, and you're going to just take the orange zest, all right? And I figure for a 1 pound bag, you should probably zest about 6 to 8 oranges. And what you're going to do is you're going to take some orange juice and brown sugar, and you're going to put your cranberries inside that with a little bit of water. So we'll say about, for one bag of cranberry, you're going to use about 3 cups of orange juice and about 2 cups of water. And you're going to let it simmer down with about, I'd say, 4 ounces of brown sugar, and just let it simmer. And you'll notice that it's done when the cranberries break open. Once the cranberries break open, you're done, and you let it sit for a little while, and you might need to drain off a little bit of the juice. Now, what some people will do to that is they'll add arrowroot, not cornstarch, because cornstarch needs to cook a little bit more. But if you add arrowroot to it to thicken it a little bit, it works out perfectly for you, and then you can serve it at room temperature, and it doesn't take long at all. You're talking about possibly on a simmer about 25 to 35 minutes.
Okay. Mm. Sounds good.
It sounds delicious.
I'll have to try that.
And then after you do the zest and the oranges, you can probably squeeze the juice from the oranges into
yes.
the
mm-hmm. very flavorful.
That fresh orange juice.
Yeah, I like the arrowroot, too. The arrowroot's a great thickener for anything you're trying to do. Arrowroot or even potato starch might even work too,
because you don't have to cook the arrowroot as much, and you won't get that. You won't get that that fine taste on your tongue like you would with cornstarch or definitely with flour or anything else. So the arrowroot is great. A little bit more expensive.
What are you drinking over there, man? What is that green thing you got going on over there?
This is a green smoothie. So I blended up some ginger beer, some spinach, avocado, dates, apple, and cucumber.
This is a vodka and cranberry.
I had to come to the show with a healthy drink on here, you know?
Man. Let me go back to phone show 410-319-8888.
I gotta go with the unhealthy side of stuff.
And Tony, you're on the air. We got Tony? Dead silence. He's there. I know he's there. Just came here. Tony, we want to hear your idea for kale. All right, well, if you come back, maybe we'll come back to you. He's there? Tony, you there? Can we pot him up, or is that the problem here? Tony? Hold it. We're going to.
Hello? Right.
Hey, Tony, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to give a variation for a quick saute sweet and sour kale. Just you saute your fresh, clean chopped kale with onions, garlic, a little Dijon mustard, some balsamic vinegar, and a little bit of water, and let them, you know, cook down a little bit, and they're delicious. No meat, and a little crushed red pepper, and you're good to go.
Crushed red pepper thing.
Yeah, I tell you, Tony.
I love kale.
It sounds like Tony Turk, that's a good friend of mine. She's a great chef, too. You know, and this is the first person that her daughter is probably more of a vegetarian than you guys are. I think at 6 months old, she was eating lemongrass. So
I'm not a vegetarian.
He's a vegetarian.
I'm the vegetarian. You're the vegetarian.
Okay. So, yeah, and I'm definitely not.
I'm an opportunarian.
Whatever's in front of you.
When there's an opportunity to eat, he's eating.
Right. And if you whatever you put in front of me in your house, I'm going to eat it.
Chitlins?
I will eat, if you put them in front of me at your house, man, I have to eat them.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and you're not going to eat them, are you, Greg?
No. even when I did eat meat, like, I was never a chitlins fan. Like,
I had that conversation.
You can smell those things cooking from a mile away.
Oh, man.
I used to kill them. But now I used to eat them. Yes, I tell people I used to eat them. But
every
I can't do it anymore.
Every culture eats guts.
Yes, in some way, shape, or form.
You know, the Jews have kishkas, the cow guts, right? Uh-huh. And every culture eats guts of some kind.
I'll tell you, like, you know, tripe. I like tripe also.
Tripe,
you know, but and they're good flavoring agents on some of them, you know. So I don't know, but you know, the one thing that I like to
give me some cumin, some pepper flakes, some onion powder, garlic powder. I'll make it happen.
You'll eat kale guts.
No. Yeah, kale guts, you know what I'm saying?
The ribs of the kale.
The ribs of the kale. The kale might not even be cooked in our restaurant, so.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the raw kale is awesome, man.
Yeah, it is. But you know what? Yeah. I'll tell you, yes, you guys will probably live a heck of a lot longer than me. I will die with a fried turkey wing and butter in the other hand.
And smiling.
And smiling. So
let's get one more thing in here, another recipe. Tim, you're on the air. Tim, welcome.
Yes, thank you. I have a recipe for a kale smoothie.
All right.
Uh-oh. Kale smoothie.
All right. Get your blender, 8 ounces of water, preferably if you're doing the distilled water or the spring water. Add in 4 handfuls of kale, in addition to 2 cups of strawberries and 1 banana. Mm. And that's your kale smoothie.
Oh, that's nice.
Mm.
That's nice.
Delicious and healthy for you.
I would like to throw a little cayenne on that, too, especially with the wintertime. Keep your body nice and warm. Absolutely.
You can add agave nectar, too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Casey's over there.
What's up, Casey?
Nah, man, I'm not feeling that, man. No, I'm not saying, and brother, I'm not saying that it's not a bad recipe. But, you know, I love my friend over at Dominion Ice Cream. She makes the vegetable ice cream.
Oh, Dominion Ice Cream, yeah.
Great. And she makes some great ice cream. Mm-hmm. But I just can't wrap my arms around, you know, no matter what you call it, broccoli ice cream.
Now, you know who makes good ice cream in this town is Takara Ice Cream, the
you mean Tahaka Brothers?
Tahaka Brothers.
We serve it in the restaurant. Their mango sorbet. I serve
their mango sorbet is amazing.
Incredible.
And their coffee chip.
Yes.
And their pumpkin ice cream. Tastes like you're eating.
Their blueberry ice cream.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we have it at Darker Than Blue.
They make some great ice cream.
They really, really do.
I have to check, do they make vegan ice cream?
As a matter of fact, I think that he did say that they were starting to get into some of those.
Okay.
So you definitely need to check him out. Tahaka Brothers, it's a phenomenal story. It's a Baltimore-based company. Phenomenal story.
Okay. Check
Whoa. Out. All right.
Kale smoothie.
This has been really wonderful. We got to do this more often.
Okay.
Let's hang out.
You got to hang out.
I'm bringing a meat eater with me next time.
Hold on, we had one and one. We had a vegan and an omnivore.
I have to say this, that was balanced, right?
Yeah, it's very balanced.
And
absolutely.
I have to say that I get a lot of vegetarians that do come into the restaurant and ask me to add more vegetarian items on, and I might look at maybe one or two. You know,
let me know.
I got to holler.
I'm sure you can come up with some great ideas.
I got to holler at you.
Come see me. We'll hook you up.
All right.
Gentlemen, check these guys out in their restaurants. Casey Jenkins does a lot here at WEA with lots of people. He's owner, executive chef of Darker Than Blue Cafe, to the jazz scene at his restaurant.
Yes.
And we're committed to doing a show from his restaurant, at least one or two shows in the coming year in your restaurant.
And I'm looking forward to it. Yes, sir.
Got to do it. We'll figure out how and Greg Brown, owner and chef of Land of Kush, who has catered events for us, and people love his food, and just a great vegan chef.
Awesome. Come see us.
Hey, thanks for having
me. You won't even know that the meat is missing.
Absolutely.
And you're right on that.
Soul food is food for the soul.
Gentlemen, thank you both so much. Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody.
Thank you, Mark.
We're going to come back before we go out of here and come back with another show, which we'll do in just a minute. I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you by Urbanite Magazine's new e-zines. It's a simple way to stay connected to the topics and events you care about most. Daily contents on arts, culture, food, design, style, green living, and much more can be delivered to your inbox. Registration is available at UrbaniteBaltimore.com. We'll come right back. Anthony McCarthy will be in the house with me, and we'll be talking the first part of our show with folks about why the Super Committee fell on its face, couldn't come up with anything to save America. We'll look at it from the right and the left and get your thoughts and ideas. So please stay with us. And then we're going to venture into lands unknown in the second part of the show. Only Anthony and I know what that is, and we don't even know what it is yet. But we'll all find out when we get there. Stay with us.